Okay, Linda Donegan, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you happy, Linda?
I'm always happy.
Good stuff. Because you're part of an initiative, what do you call it, Get Ireland Happy?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a bit about it.
Okay, well, I tell you, it's really, really exciting to be sitting here talking to you today because this idea is just 12 days old. And basically, the idea is about bringing people together in the spirit of spreading love, kindness, positivity, and having some fun. And it all started, I mean, there's a number of factors that have inspired the start of this idea, but one event kicked it off. I attended a flash mob about 2 weeks ago in Dublin at the Spire. And the whole idea was just to gather some people together and just spread a little bit of positivity into the area for an hour.
Did you talk about burning the bondholders, water charges?
No, not at all. I mean, this is all about positivity. So it was very different, and I don't think people knew what was happening at the Spire. There was only a small group of us.
Yeah. And did you find then people organically started joining, or?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we were, I think there was about six of us, and we were holding up signs telling people they were awesome, telling people they were beautiful. I held up a sign asking people if they wanted a hug. And, you know, I was very nervous going when I went. The idea of standing at the Spire in the city centre was a bit of a jump outside my comfort zone. But as soon as I stood there and held up the sign and asked people if they wanted a hug, something really amazing happened.
Has it changed you, do you think, Linda?
It hasn't. I won't say it's changed me because this is who I am. But it had a profound impact and inspired me to, I guess, to set up Get Ireland Happy.
So if someone wanted to replicate this in Donegal or Tyrone or Derry or any county up here, how would they do it? So, I mean, there's not much you have to do, but what would you do first?
It's so simple. I mean, all this has been on social media so far.
Mm-hmm.
I set up a page on Facebook. I have a Twitter account. And it's just about getting the word out there. And we had a small event on Wednesday. It was National Hugging Day. It's not a day that seems to be recognised in Ireland too much up until now. We tried to recognise it on Wednesday. So we just got a small group. There's only three of us. We went to Central Bank on Wednesday morning at 7:30. And we held up signs asking people if they wanted a hug. And we gave out hugs for about an hour and put smiles on people's faces. And it was so simple. It all just happened on social media and a few people came together and that's how it happens.
Yeah, positivity. Perhaps there is a lack of it and sometimes you have to make it happen yourself.
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that people aren't positive, but I just think sometimes it takes, you know, one person or one idea.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of us, though, that are in, we're not unhappy, we're not happy, we're just in sort of this holding pattern.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard not to be as well, because there's so much, I mean, you know, if you're watching the news and if you're on social media, there is a lot of bad stuff happening in the world, and it's hard to not let it get you down, but, you know, so it is hard to be positive.
So let's get Ireland happy. People can go on, follow you on Facebook, is it, or website?
Yeah.
How do they get more information, Linda?
Yeah, on Facebook and we're on Twitter, and I said it's only 12 days old. You know, I've lots of ideas, very simple ideas, just to kind of stimulate ripples of kindness around the country and stuff like that. So I just encourage people to come onto the Facebook page and Twitter and just keep an eye on what's happening. And, you know, I'll set up spontaneous meetings in Dublin and hopefully it's replicated around the country. And it's just really simple, and just let's see what happens.
All right, Linda, we're linking all that info off our Facebook page as well. Thanks so much for coming on.
No problem.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Leonardo DiCaprio went through hell to play the indestructible fur trapper Hugh Glass in The Revenant and has been awarded with a Golden Globe for his performance and an Oscar nomination. Indeed, the film has garnered quite a number of nominations. Now, The Revenant claims to tell the true story of Hugh, a hard-driving mountain man of the early 19th century American West, whose bear attack became a frontier legend. John T. Coleman is a professor at Indiana's Notre Dame University and has been investigating if indeed the story is true. And he joins us on the program now. Professor, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Firstly, you've watched the film, obviously. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular.
I think the bear scene, the scene of the attack in itself, is almost worthy of the Cinematography Award.
Yes, it is pretty scary.
Now, Hugh Glass, you've investigated this person. Firstly, are you convinced that this film is based on a true story, at least some true events?
Sure. It's based on a few sketchy facts that we have, and then those facts got elaborated into this pretty fabulous story.
And what have you learned about Hugh Glass, the character which is played by Leonardo DiCaprio in the film?
Well, we know that Hugh Glass existed. We know that he was attacked by a bear, and that he was left by his companions, and they took his gun, and he later recovered. And those are the bare bones of the story. As far as his personality, we know that he was very difficult to deal with. His bosses described him as being something of a rascal.
Does that come across in the film to you?
I think Hugh might have had a bit more of a glint in his eye than it's portrayed in the film. It's a pretty grim portrayal of Hugh Glass.
But there is always artistic license, isn't there? I mean, and I don't mean this in any way facetious. It's not a documentary, but in filmmaking generally, don't they sort of, you know, take the nuts and bolts of a film and then create of a story and then create something from that?
Oh, absolutely. And I would say that started almost as soon as the bear attacked Hugh Glass. They started telling stories about the event, and it's hard to separate art from history, even in the 19th century.
Does that concern you, that, you know, I think sometimes the way things are now, that maybe particularly younger people are getting history in a different way? They're getting a version of history, maybe a Hollywood version of history.
Well, it's very important that, you know, when these productions come out, that we talk about, well, what actually do we know, what are the sources, and grounds our understanding. Ask questions about the history and not just accept stories that are easy to present and easy to digest, that's for sure.
Okay, it's very interesting. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. It's only come out into cinemas so far here, but suffice to say, everyone knows that this spectacular bear attack happened, and if the reality is anything like what's presented on the big screen, it would have been a terrifying experience.
That's for sure, and the bear attack is very close to the sources that of other bear attacks for fur trappers at this time. So I would say that that's probably the most accurate thing in the film, even though the bear is probably mostly digital.
Yeah, well, that's a spoiler. No, I'm only joking. Did you enjoy the film? I mean, do you think DiCaprio's worthy of an Oscar? I, to be honest with you, thought he just really grunted an awful lot. I didn't see anything there.
Yeah, it's not a super articulate performance. I thought the film was visually spectacular.
Yes, I agree with you on that. Some of the shots were amazing.
Yeah.
And apparently the director insisted on filming in natural light only, which obviously was very frustrating for everyone involved, I would say.
Yeah, no, it looked like quite an endurance test.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Pardon my ignorance in terms of geography. You're escaping the snow, are you, Professor?
I'm actually in Montana right now, so I'm hip deep in snow.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay, well, listen, we hope it passes quickly. Thank you very much for joining us on the program from Montana.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care. That is Professor John T. Coleman, who has been looking at the backstory of that film, The Revenant. Have you seen it? What do you think of it? I just think it's slightly overrated, but then again, I've never been a good judge of what gets the nods at Oscars. Caller says, Greg, I have an obsession with shoes. What can your caller or what can your guest do to help me? I'm sorry, that came a little into me late. I think if Anne-Marie was still on with us, she would say, keep what you want and throw out what you'll never wear, and perhaps look at why you're holding on to them. Is it because you love the shoes, or is it because they're associated with a memory or a feeling? How do we go about setting up Get Ireland Happy in Donegal? Well, you can go onto our Facebook page, search Weekend Edition on Highland Radio. And we have links to all that Get Happy Ireland stuff, if you so wish. Caller says, I think people think too much about materialistic things now, that this Get Ireland Happy is a great thing. Bring back human nature, I say. Caller says, my aunt's case went missing when we went to Florida. She was left standing in what she travelled in. She borrowed 3 outfits from me and 3 from my sister-in-law. And you know what? That did her for 2 weeks. It showed you can survive with a lot less than you bring with you. And I think Ryanair have done a fair bit in showing us that as well, because on a recent flight, there's very little stuff seems to go into the hold of the plane anymore. Everyone's carrying it with them. So we can do more with less. Right, we're a little behind on ad break. Stay tuned. Still loads to come on the show between now and 12 noon, indeed. Right, we're going to talk now about a little bit of advice for you and possible scamming that's going on. Catherine Stanley Rogers joins us on the programme now. Catherine, how are you?
Hello there.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Now, what was your experience at an ATM in the west of the county?
It was just that I stopped at the bank to get money out and thought nothing of it. Used the bank as normal. Carried on. I was rushing for a ferry and I carried on. But then that was about 4:30. And then about 6:30 that evening, I had a phone call from the bank looking for authorization for 1500 of a transfer. Wow. To a Microsoft online account. Obviously, it wasn't me, so they investigated, and it turned out that somebody had scammed my card in the ATM that I had used 2 hours previous.
No, and it happened that quickly, so they had... Yeah. And my understanding of the scamming devices that they can put on these ATMs is they might go to the one you were at for a couple of hours and move around. You know, they're not going to stick at the one the whole time.
No.
Did the machine look in any way different to normal? No. I know you were a little bit busy, but...
No, not at all. It's absolutely nothing. And I'm quite cautious because I lived in England for a lot of years and I'm quite cautious about people seeing my PIN. So it was completely, you wouldn't think that something had just happened. No noise, no funny locks, nothing.
And so I wonder, have you been able to ascertain, Catherine, did they need your PIN to sort of start trying to act? So even covering your PIN, although we're advised to do so in this instance, that wasn't enough?
They just used my long card number and my expiry date and obviously the 3 digits at the back. And when you put your card into the machine, the reader that they have on the slot that the card goes into can access all that. So that's all they need for internet shopping or internet banking.
Exactly. You can go buy phone, credit book, flights. They can order stuff online. As you say, they can order a new computer for themselves. Or
they got away with over 300 in designer shoes. And €277 to Nike. So they just, and then the 1500 they were trying to transfer to an offshore account.
And I'm sure that's €500 that you very much would prefer in your account.
Oh, exactly. I'd like to buy designer shoes.
That's what I was going to say. And are you protected in any way, Catherine? You went to the bank. What did the bank say about the money?
The bank was absolutely brilliant. When we sorted out that obviously them transactions wasn't me, they said that when you pay your fee every month for your account, that you're covered, that's your insurance, and that you're covered.
Mm.
But once they find out that it's not you, they will refund the money.
But
they blocked my card in the meantime, so I have no access to my account unless I do internet banking to another account and use that account.
Exactly, and who's to say, you know, if it was a different person and mortgages were due or something, and next thing your mortgage bounces and it goes on your credit record, and it's quite serious. So, go ahead, Catherine.
Or anybody that wouldn't have the funds, like single parents or anything like that. You know, people depend on this.
So, retrospectively, looking back, Catherine, is there anything then that we could look for on these ATMs to make sure our cards aren't being skimmed?
I know for definite the next time I put my card into the ATM, where it actually goes into the ATM, I will shake it just to see will it come off, because that's what it is. It comes off.
Because these guys, they pull up in a car park opposite the bank, they go over to the bank, pretend they're flutering with it, stick this thing on, go back to the card. My understanding is the information's either stored on the device or it's sent to a laptop in the car.
Yeah.
They go back, retrieve the device and on to the next town. So it happened to you in the west of the county. It could be in a show today.
Okay, this is, you don't know where it's going to happen. Like, this is a busy main street, and so somebody obviously was watching the people using the machine, and knows that it's a very popular machine too.
Exactly, especially in rural areas, because you know a lot of the banks aren't open, or this, that, and the other, and the amount. No, it's my fault, Kathy. There's a slight delay in the line. I beg your pardon, but go ahead. Yep.
And then people think because it's a rural area and it's quiet, it'll never happen. But this is proof that it does happen. So, you know, I would definitely go into the, if there's an ATM inside the bank and you can get into the bank, just go in.
Yeah, and I think you were lucky too, Catherine, because not every bank has this sort of insurance scheme. I know I had a bit of difficulty getting money back myself when my card was skimmed outside of Ireland. So, listen, the best thing is to make sure it doesn't happen to you as best you can, rather than having to, as you said, your account's locked and you want your €500 back, or the shoes at least.
Yeah, God knows when it will go back in, but they did promise that I will get it back.
Catherine, great piece of advice. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Because you don't, you know what it's like to go through it, and you don't want someone else to have to go through it.
No, God, no. That's why I put it up. Just people just be aware of everything. You know, just don't take it for granted, because we live out in the sticks, that it's not going to happen.
Exactly. In fact, it may be more likely to happen, this kind of thing.
Definitely, yeah.
What time was it in, do you mind telling?
It was 4:30 on Thursday evening.
And what town?
It was in Dunloe.
Dunloe. Just in case anybody else was in Dunloe at that time and needs to check their accounts. The Bank of Ireland ATM.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much, Catherine, for that.
Thank you. No problem.
All right. Take care. And that's not a problem exclusive to any bank whatsoever, but on this occasion it was the one in Dunloe. And if you were using that on Thursday afternoon, maybe worth checking your bank account, because the bank will phone you for unusual big transactions. Not just that bank, any bank at all. But it's the little ones, maybe like flights or phone credits or shoes or whatever it might be, smaller purchases. Maybe you won't get that info. So thanks very much there to Catherine Stanley-Rogers for highlighting that issue. Now, Tina Kumarinos, a very good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Greg. How are you?
Thank you for taking our I'm watching my P's and Q's. I'm a bit concerned because you're an etiquette expert.
Well, I'm sure if you've got a job in radio, you must be okay.
Don't kid yourself. No, I'm only messing. Now, we saw an article, an interesting article, and I thought it worth talking about. And the headline was, and it's an interesting question, do children of today need to be taught to show more appreciation?
They do. Unfortunately, it's like teaching a child good manners from day one. You know, even as a very small toddler, when you give them something, you always make them say thank you and please. And it's the same with gifts. If they receive something, especially, you know, well, not especially if it's from somebody who isn't a member of the family, even a member of the family really appreciates a little note, and even if it's total scribble, and get them to draw a little picture of whatever they got. People really, really do appreciate it. They realize that the child likes the present, and they're more likely, I mean, it's a win-win, they're more likely to get something in the future than if they just sort of grab the present and run off.
Do you think that perhaps some of us are guilty in that, you know, we neglect the pleases and the thank yous in the home and then expect them outside of the home, and asking maybe too much of children to differentiate from being home and being out and about in wider society?
Yeah, but that's why you have to start it at home. It's so important. There can't be two sets of rules, Greg. You have to start it at home and carry it through. And it's really good training, because later in life, when they are in a work situation, you can have all the money in the world, and if you have no manners, it's lost. All the person will remember is not the Rolex watch, but how rude the person was. So it's, you know, start it at home, carry it through life, and it pays you back 100 times, trust me.
So we shouldn't allow our children necessarily to think that they're entitled to gifts, or that, you know, everything is guaranteed, that you have to be appreciative and you have to give to receive.
Very, very much so, yes. You see, that's the thing. It's like, even I notice children who are writing to Father Christmas, sometimes they ask for extraordinary things. And what they have to keep in mind is that he has to go all over the world, and he can't just be shelling out, you know, huge amounts on each child. So manage a child's expectations. The more you give, I know it's your little treasure and you want to give it the very, very best, but the more you give a child, unfortunately, the more they want and the bigger the prize. And especially school-going children, because they see maybe somebody who is slightly better off than them with a much bigger thing. And, you know, it's human nature then for the child to want more. But if you teach them to appreciate the small things, and no matter how small the gift or how small the thing is somebody does for them, to really appreciate it, you know, it's a very good start in life for them.
The article I referenced is talking about notes and what have you. I just wonder, are we moving further away from that in the digital age that, you know, a lot of people are losing the ability to write because everything's short speak and short text and smileys and emoticons? You know, is a smiley at the end of a text message a thank you?
Well, I tell you what, in fact, depending on how well you know the person, I mean, I sent a smiley to a very close friend the other day, but if it was somebody like I was invited to a lovely dinner party last Saturday night to a lady that I don't know terribly well, well, of course, on the Sunday I sat down and wrote her a thank you letter. I didn't email her, I didn't text her, because to get a letter in the post from somebody means that they really do appreciate it. They've taken on board that you have gone to, you know, a lot of trouble to give them a nice evening. And to know that that person has, first of all, sat down and written you a letter, gone out and bought a 70-cent stamp and posted it. It, you know, it does mean a lot to people. It is too easy these days just to send a text, or in a lot of cases, I mean, if you're very close to somebody, sometimes you just say thanks and leave. And but, you know, those people who send you a text, that even a text the next morning from a close friend to say, that was a great evening, really enjoyed it, thanks a million. It, the closer you are to somebody, yes, it is. And when you're an adult, of course, everyone's very busy. So you, it is, you know, okay to send them a text. But a letter, it's that big step further, you know, it does make a big difference.
And the reason it probably makes a big difference is because expectations perhaps are lowering now. So the fact that something would land on your doorstep that's handwritten and expressing gratitude, well, it would be all the more exciting given the fact that you perhaps wouldn't be expecting it.
Very much so. And I mean, I was somewhere recently and I was talking to a child, and afterwards the child said, I gave them something very small. It was nothing really. And I said, oh, thank you very much. That's lovely. And I was so taken aback. And I actually stopped the father and I said, I have to compliment you on your child's manners. They're fantastic. They're amazing and good for you.
Which I'm sure got a broad smile from the parent as well.
Oh, a huge smile. And the child didn't look sort of surprised or anything. It was just, you know, this was their normal everyday sort of way of dealing with stuff, which was, oh God, it was so refreshing.
Tina, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Well, to all your listeners out there, please and thank you. It's your best accessory going forward, trust me. It doesn't matter how you dress. Good manners will get you anywhere.
I'm penning a letter as we speak. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye. Take care. That is Tina Kumaranas joining us there. She's an etiquette expert. What do you think about that? Do you agree with Tina, or is she hawking to a bygone age? 086 770 0555 is the text number. You can call us on 07491 25000. A caller says they love First Dates. I watched it last night on Channel 4. It'll be interesting to see what our version would be like. Can't see it being as good as Channel 4's. We never seem to do as good as the UK shows. Plus, we won't have the lovely French Maitre D. We did come dine with me, and it just did not work. Tad cringing some episodes. Well, our own Noel Cunningham was on Come Dine With Me. I thought he did very well. But I do take your point. But I think sometimes if we see something in a different environment and we come used to that, some American programs that you see that aren't reality-based, but different shows, and then the
anglicise them, or an Irish version is made, and it's just not the same because you're used to a different type of format. And we love when we have the opportunity to showcase local talent, young or old, or somewhere in the middle. In this instance, it's young. It's Dylan Morey, just 17 years of age. First time on radio, Dylan, too. How are you?
Not too bad, Greg. Thanks very much for having me on.
Very good. It's our pleasure. Now, you, tell us a bit about yourself. I mean, you're an aspiring musician, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I've been practicing now this couple of years on the guitar, and I also do a wee bit of singing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do a wee bit of songwriting, and just wee bits and pieces, and I'm hoping to go on for a career in the music business eventually.
What about jiving? Do you do any of that?
I do indeed.
There's a strong family connection in that area too, isn't there?
I do indeed, yeah. My uncle Josie and my cousin Charlene is All-Ireland rock and roll champions.
That's right.
And I love the jiving myself and the dancing. It's great.
Well, we had them on Highland as well. And you do some tricks as well, and you've been posting them online, and it's got quite a reaction, hasn't it?
It has. It's crazy the amount of publicity it's got for me. I just posted up a couple of online videos, and I posted the first a couple of weeks back, and I got about, I think it was 7,000 mm-hmm. views on it. And after that, it just went from there. I posted up a new video about a week ago now, and I'm on 15,500 views, and it's amazing the reaction that I got from it and all.
Excellent. It's been picked up by Donegal Daily as well, which is going to help with the hits and what have you. So it's taken off for you. Now, we're on radio, but you're going to do a trick for us, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Now, I'm going to get old Jimmy Stafford on this now and video it here as well. Okay, so Dylan, what are you going to do here for us?
Well, today I decided to do something a wee bit different as a card trick. And I'm going to need your help as well for it.
Okay, how many hands do I require?
Just one. So this time I'm...
Right, Yvonne, I'm going to have to get Yvonne in here. Yvonne, please, I need my hands. Okay, this is going on YouTube later on, and we'll link it on our Facebook as well. That's recording, Yvonne, thank you. Right, go ahead, Dylan.
No problem, here we go. So this time I'm going to shuffle up the pack.
Get closer, it's magic.
This time I'm going to shuffle up the pack.
Yes.
And as in my video, I get the top card like this, and I give it a shake just like this.
Mm. Do you need her on this side?
You could, yeah.
Come on this side, it's magic. You know, you have to look at the man straight on.
So, I'm going to lift over the top card, which is the Five of Hearts. Mm-hmm. Greg, if you could sign the Five of Hearts for me there, please.
Okay, no problem. Where do you want me to sign it?
Just anywhere, just your name.
Okay, there you go.
That's perfect, thanks very much. Okay, so what I'm going to do now with the Five of Hearts is I'm going to lift it off,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it in four corners, I'm going to cover it over,
mm-hmm.
just like this, and I'm going to ask you if you could bite down on the card just like this.
Right, I have to put this in my mouth?
Yeah,
okay. Go ahead.
In your teeth. Perfect. And now, for the next part of the trick, I'm going to get the next card, which is the Ace of Spades,
uh-huh.
and I'm going to write my name on it.
Right.
So I'll write...
It's very hard to do radio with a card in my mouth.
Yeah, and here we go. So that's my name on it, Dylan. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put it over and do the exact same thing again.
Uh-huh.
Half the card over four times. I'm going to put it in my mouth.
Right.
And look at how your hand.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay. Now you're sending something to me here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And just like that.
What?
Your card is over here. Check what you've got.
Mm, probably your DNA in my mouth. Okay, I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Very, very well done. I've interviewed a couple of magicians, and that's the best one I've seen. I'm not going to lie to you.
Thank you so much. That's just one I've been learning. It was one Dynamo was performing, and I just self-learned myself the tricks, and I just learned that one especially for the show today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well done. Okay, that's
an
exclusive. Thanks very much. That's Dylan there. Now, Dylan, Dynamo, you talked about him. He's really the next hot property, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah. He's one of my all-time idols, and I love watching. I started about 4 years ago, and I was watching Dynamo Magician Impossible on the TV, and it all kind of went from there. I got really fascinated with the magic, and I really wanted to start myself and to do these different illusions, and I started off the card tricks and bottle tricks, and as I started posting them up online, you know, when I started a couple of years back, it was kind of slow coming in.
Yeah.
And I took a break then for about a year and a half off it and posted no videos. And just all of a sudden, I decided just to put a video up, you know, for the crack.
When it hits, and you can't judge when that's going to happen or when it's not going to happen. So
Dynamo's great. One thing, he's probably missing a little bit of personality. I think if he had that,
yes,
he would be. He's a superstar, but I think he'd be stratospheric superstar because some of his tricks are absolutely amazing. But it's amazing to see something like that so close up. Now, I had an interest in magic when I was younger, but I got frustrated or my patience went when I was trying to learn something. You must have great patience then, do you?
Well, I wouldn't say that either. It's kind of just like when I started out doing the tricks, as of like anything you're going to learn, it takes a lot of practice and time. But as I kept going and kept practicing at it, I started to get that wee bit quicker and I started learning the dynamo shuffle. Mm. And once you got into the...
That's not a dance move now, is it?
No, that's just a flourish with the cards that I'm learning. And from that, I posted a video of that online too and got a great reaction too from that. And I was delighted with the write-up as well. I got the article from Donegal Daily.
Yeah.
And a big thanks to them and Mark and all the crew for being so kind and posting it online for me.
Now, let me ask you. You are an aspiring musician as well. You've been learning the guitar. Do you love one over the other? Are you a little frustrated that maybe you've got the 20k hits on the magic trick and it's not on you playing guitar?
Well, to tell you the truth, when I posted the card tricks online, I never expected to get the reaction I did from it. I didn't expect it to go anywhere with it. But just suddenly the hits started coming in on it and I got so many shares and so many lovely phone calls and text messages and... I was amazed with it. But as of my music, I'm looking forward to maybe debuting a debut single of a rock and roll song.
Brilliant.
Now, hopefully later on in the summer or maybe coming into Christmas time.
Yeah, and you can use your bass of the magic to... You can do both.
That's right, yeah.
If you could put the card in your mouth, play a guitar, and then at the end spit it out in someone else's card. But that's what you have to do. You have to come up with something different, don't you, as well? I mean, that's amazing. But, you know, you want to be yourself. You don't want to be a Dynamo clone. Or who was that other guy beforehand that used to walk around the street not saying anything?
David Blaine,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably still in a glass box hanging somewhere, still yet to be discovered.
But, yeah, with a lot of the guys that do the magic and that, a lot of them would be kind of... They would be very popular and they would have their TV shows, but as a personality, it'd be kind of different thing. They'd be kind of very quiet and everything.
Yes, exactly. And I think, in fairness, Dynamo is a little bit... I'd say his hero is Blaine. I don't know if it is, but I'd imagine it is because he does... It's you know, a lot of it's styled on that, but it's fantastic stuff. They talk about busking. You should be down doing card tricks outside a shopping centre. You'd be making a fortune.
That would be amazing.
Indeed. Listen... Where can people access your videos? We're going to post this one on, and what else are we going to do? Yeah, we're going to link it on our YouTube and Facebook pages. But if people want to see the stuff you've already made, is it on YouTube or is it through your Facebook page?
Well, I've got two of my main videos I posted. One is 673 King Street, as is a James Scalia card trick.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also got one I kind of arrange myself of all different magician's tricks, and it's called All Around the World.
Yes.
And I've posted them on my Facebook, on Dylan Murray on Facebook.
Brilliant. So the easiest way, people search your name, D-Y-L-A-N, Dylan Murray, and they can like you or give you a share or what have you, and they can see those tricks. And it's support an impressive young Donegal fella. Anyone you want to say hello to since you're on?
Yeah, there's a couple I'd like to say hello to as well. I would really like...
You can remember a magic trick where you spit your card into my mouth... And you can't remember four names. What's going on?
I'm telling you.
He's just unfolded a piece of paper. Go on to tell him.
I'd like to say a big hello as well to my mum and my granny and my three wee cousins.
Give them a name. What are their names?
Dean, Chantelle and Stacey Lee.
Lovely.
And I'd like to say a big hello to my manager, Tony from TS Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say a big thank you as well to yourself and Yvonne and all the team here at
Highland. It's a pleasure to have you on.
For having me on. It's absolutely amazing. When I got the call, I couldn't believe
it. Good. Excellent. So and maybe, you know, we showcase the best of music here as well. Maybe when you get that single ready to rock and roll, we'll at least give it a play, maybe get you in and see what the crack is.
That would be amazing.
Who's your musical idols, Dylan?
My musical idols, it's just like my card tricks. I try to do them kind of different than everyone else is doing, because at the moment the country scene is all on country music and American country style music, but I am kind of changing it with my style, as I would go with 50s rock and roll.
So Bill Haley, that type
Elvis
of stuff.
Elvis Presley and Little Richard, all old music, and also rockabilly, and trying to do a mixture of, you know, trying to be unique, you know, to have your own style in it.
Yeah, excellent. Malcolm Fisher has texted in to say a big well done to Dylan.
Thank you very much, Malcolm. Thank you.
So, fair play to you. And there's loads more coming through. We'll get them mentioned before 12. Best luck. Thanks. That was really, really good. Because you don't know how... I don't know how it worked for listeners because they never saw what happened. But if you have access to the internet, and we know 40% of people in Donegal do, we'll have it online and people can have a look at that. Or check out Dylan Murray on Facebook. Your family's going to be really proud. You did fantastic, Dylan. It's first time on the radio. Thank you very much for coming on with us. And we'll chat to you again, I have no doubt whatsoever.
Thank you very much, Greg.
All right, Dylan, did you say hello to everyone you had to say hello to?
I did indeed, okay. Yeah.
Is that a betting slip you've written it on?
That was just a wee piece of paper quick this morning.
Good man. All right, that's Dylan Murray, just 17 years of age and hugely impressive there.